Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, again, we are in for another glorious day and time in the Lord on today. The Bible said, look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. And he will not suffer your feet to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. Truly, we thank and praise God for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And we ask, oh God, that your blessing will be upon us and with us as we come together and just talk of your glorious works and what you are doing in and through the lives of your people. We ask your blessings on this session today. In Jesus' name, we bind the forces of darkness and every evil force that will come against your word. And we thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank God for you on today, and we just ask that you just come right on in and grab your Bibles as we get ready to have another glorious session in the Lord on today. Today, our lesson topic is going to be on one of the letters to the church, and it's in regards to a chosen generation. And that's what our lesson is going to be focused on and centered around today, a chosen generation. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 5 through 12. And then we're going to focus at our focus verse, which is going to be on 1 Peter 2 and 9. And then we're going to move right into our lesson. And we have a lot to talk about on today about the chosen generation. So as you grab your Bible, let us take a look at the word of the Lord today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses number 5 through verse number 12. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builder disannulled, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so for the reading of the scripture, we're going to look at the focus verse that we're going to be centering our talk around on today. It's going to be over in 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And our thought is, though we were nothing and did not deserve it, God in his love has called and chosen us to his family, to be a part of his family. Isn't that a profound thing? Just to know that God has called us and has chosen us to be in his family. And I don't care if you don't know your mother or your father or any of your other relatives. You can rest in the fact that God has adopted you into his royal family. And that in itself is a blessing for the people of God. So let's take a look here at the scripture. According to the Apostle Paul, Peter, Gentiles were not a people, but became the people of God. 1 Peter 2:10. In this particular lesson, we're going to be studying how God went to the court for the Gentiles and won the case, and that established them as a special people. So it is, the children of God, we should remember that this world is not our home. As strangers and pilgrims here, people are often misunderstood and understand our motive and speak evil of us. Interestingly, what Christians or children of God often view as normal, people of the world sometimes look at it as though it is abnormal. However, what people of the world call normal often is perverted. In this lesson, we also study how our special status as God's people demands special attention and action in our life daily. Now that we are pedigreed children of God, we should act like royalty. This demands that we live as separated from the world, for we are a chosen generation. However, we also will see that the call of holiness accompanies a call to balance and sensibility. Finally, this lesson will remind us that our eternal destination is heaven, as anyone who is soon to take a trip governs his activity in preparation for that trip. As we, as children of God, should allow Christ's future return to dictate for us a life of readiness. Certainly, we are preparing for that trip to our final destination. Now, let's look at the call. And then we're going to look at, while we're looking at the call, we're going to look at being called out of darkness into the marvelous light. We're going to look at being called into the family. Then we're going to look at being called as newborn babes. And then after we look at call, we're going to look at chosen. And then from there, we're going to look at faithful. And as we progress through here, we'll see what God is calling for us as the chosen generation. So let's look at being called. And we're going to look at Romans chapter number 1, verse 7. And the scripture reads on this line, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." Not many people receive a telephone call from the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Canada, or the King of the Monarchies. Those who receive such a call usually receive it because they have accomplished a great feat or received a great reward. Although few people have received such important calls, believers in Christ Jesus have received a call from the King of the universe, the Almighty God. His call did not come to acknowledge great accomplishment on our behalf, but it was a call to invite us to something greater than ourselves and something great. When we look at John chapter number 37, verse through verse 39, it gives a picture of this invitation. And so let's take a look at that particular invitation. And I'll read that in your hearing because so that you can gain a greater understanding. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of his spirit, which that they believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Again, I just read to you John chapter number 7, verse 37 down to verse 39. What a beautiful, beautiful invitation. And I want to tell you, child of God, every time you go to the church and when they make that altar call and things, that is a time when God is extending, and even before you get there, God is constantly extending a call to come unto him and think that you might be blessed. Amen? God wants to bless his people. For the Almighty to call us into relationship with himself is like an invitation, a king inviting a beggar from the street to dine with him in his palace. He has called those who were nothing to something that represents everything. Never have anyone received a greater invitation, for the invitation to enter the kingdom of God in heaven is the ultimate calling. Isn't that beautiful? It is a beautiful. Now let's look at where did he call us from. He called us, number one, out of darkness into the marvelous light. And let's take a look at that particular scripture and this particular point about this aspect of the calling. In scripture terms, darkness is synonymous with the world, sin, or eternal damnation. When God called us, we were in sin or darkness. The psalmist is playing our condition, such as it set in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And that's over in Psalm 107 and 10. God called us to come out of the evil of darkness to walk in the heavenly sunshine and the light of the Lord. Darkness is a cover for many things that are evil, including the bondage of sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And you can find that over in John 3:19. However, God is able to deliver anyone from sin and strong clutches. Let's look at Colossians 1:13. The Bible says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, although light is more powerful than darkness, evil is not without power. Spiritual light is power that lifts us up and draws us nearer to God. Spiritual darkness, on the other hand, is the power that pulls us down and away from God. Like the downward pull of gravity, sin has a negative influence on anyone as it continually pulls a person downward. For this reason, we must constantly resist this downward tow, just as a person must put forth effort to climb upward. Living for God requires the effort of consistent discipline and determination. So here, the scripture is letting us know that we also must have to have a determination and a discipline as children of God. Yes, he called us out of the marvelous darkness, out of darkness into his marvelous light, but he is requiring and expecting us to have discipline and determination to daily walk in the light of the word of God. Okay, let's look here. The power of the Holy Ghost delivers an individual from the clutches of darkness because it is the power of spiritual light. In his gospel, John declared, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's John 1:4-5. The word comprehended in this passage means extinguishes, overpower, or to put out. The Amplified Bible renders this verse as this: and the light shined on in darkness, for the darkness had never overpowered it, but it put out or absorbed it and or appropriated it and is unreceptive to the darkness. And so here again is sharing about what the light is doing and able to do. In his first epistle, John reiterated, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. Without question, the light of Christ that we have in us is greater than anything that the world could offer. the beauty of this deliverance from darkness by the light causes us to never to desire to return to that darkness or to darkness. Now, let's take another look at another aspect of where God has called us. And so, first of all, he called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And then secondly, he has called us into the family. 1 Peter 2 and 10 states, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but have now attained mercy. The Jews considered the Gentile as spiritual orphans, fatherless, motherless in this world, without God, without pedigree. Truly, we did nothing to merit the wonderful grace of God, for we have nothing to offer. God could influence his views of us. Utterly lost, helpless, hopeless, the balance of our spiritual bank account was zero. For us to be part of God's family without any claims of kinship, he had to adopt us. Consequently, he did what was necessary that all people could have the tremendous opportunity of receiving salvation through the Holy Spirit. We'll see Romans 8, 15, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. A person's entrance into the family of God is purely a spiritual experience, a spiritual regeneration through the new birth. When Nicodemus asked how a person could be born when he was old, Jesus explained that the new birth consists of water and spirit. And you'll see that over in John 3, verses 4 and 6. A person then becomes a child of God through the new birth by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so here we see now being called into the family. We talked about being called out of the marvelous, out of darkness into the marvelous light. And now let's look at the third aspect. After you have been baptized in water baptism in Jesus' name and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, then you are called as a newborn babe or babies in Christ. It said, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Again, that's 1 Peter 2 and 2. We have responded to God's call, which has affected a transformation, a new beginning. This new birth brought forth spiritual babies that initiated the process of development into a spiritually mature Christian. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul mentioned that ministry is for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4 and 12. The ministry then is to mature all of the God's children to become mature Christians. Now, let's take a look here. As adopted babies, we initially take part of milk of the word and begin to develop, but as we grow, we begin to enjoy the meat of the word as well. And you can read that over in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Although we enter the kingdom as newborn babes, God expects us to mature properly. Perhaps this is the reason that Paul warned the Corinthians about remaining infants too long. And you'll read that over in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through verse number 3. Now, isn't it quite interesting that Paul had to warn the people about being an infant too long? And what God intended in our lives and in the life of God's children and believers is to go on to maturity, not to stay in that same spot, but to progress and move. It's a progression of moving forward into the things of God as never before and maturing and growing. When God chose us, he knew that we would need to develop from infancy to adulthood. Some people fail to understand this, and they accept new converts immediately to behave as mature Christians. As we understand the development of a child physically, we should also understand the spiritual development of a new convert. We cannot expect a new child of God to know what a mature Christian knows. Furthermore, we cannot expect a child to behave as an adult behaves, and on the other hand, to remain an infant in Christ and never develop will indicate spiritual abnormality. And so we really don't want the individual to stay as a child either, but to go on to adulthood, even in Zion. So God is constantly wanting us to mature, going from faith to faith. Now, let's look at another aspect. We looked at the call for the chosen generation. Now, let's look at the chosen. What are you chosen to be? We have understood where we've been called from and called to. Now, what are we chosen for is the question. And the next thing is going to happen is that you'll find the answer here of why you were chosen, and perhaps not all of the rest of the ones that are in your social sphere that you know. And then why did it was you? And so we're going to take a look at that. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now here it is, to show forth the praises. Now you are called to show forth the praises. Now many people walk wandering around trying to find ministry, trying to find calling and the whole thing. Well, to settle that in your heart and spirit, you're called out of darkness into the marvelous light. You're called into the family of God. You are called as newborn babes, called to grow to maturity. Now, let's look at chosen. What are you chosen for? And here, 1 Peter again began to let us know, we are chosen to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. We should view God's call on our life as compliment. However, when he chooses us, he calls us to experience a transformation. In the book of Revelation, John referred to the one who are called, chosen, and faithful, Revelation 17 and 14. God's call is the initial stage of the process. God chooses us on the basis of our response to his call. Perhaps every individual has felt the stinging rejection of not being chosen or being chose last for some activity or an event. Some were always last to be chosen when a sandlot game of baseball was being organized. What a thrill to our ego when the captain of a team chooses us first. We can all rejoice because God has chosen us and wants us on his team. And that's the blessing right now, that God has chosen us and he wants us on his team. Amen. Now let's look again. He calls us for the praise, and then let's look at another point. He wants us to be lively stones. So write that down. I'm chosen to be a lively stone. I'm chosen to show forth the praises of God. Now let's look here at the scripture. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A builder selects material and has them delivered to the job site for the construction of a project. In a similar way, God chose us for the construction of his project, the church. His purpose is not to slack us in a new pile on the job site, but he desires us to be used in his building. Certainly, we are lively stone in the spiritual house. This habitation of God is not a museum full of yesterday's artifacts, but is a vibrant, vital entity. Paul declared to the Corinthians, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, let's look at that. You are God's building. That's where God is residing within your heart, in your spirit. Once you get filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, God is residing right there in your heart and in your spirit. And so your body, your life becomes the building of God's tabernacle. And that's so key for us to understand that revelation about the building. And if you go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9, it would let us know about that. And I want to turn to that because I want us to take a look at it, because I believe it's very key for us to really to understand that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 really quickly here, because I want you to see what God had in mind in regards to you. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that in your hearing, because you must know your identity in Christ Jesus. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye yet not carnal and walk as men? And so here we could see it there as the scripture let us know and things that we are the builders, building. Let's take a look here. Furthermore, as lively stones, we are chips off the old block. The writer of the Old Testament commonly referred to God as the rock. You'll see that over in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, 32, 15 and 18. Also, 30 through 31, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 2, Psalms 18, verse number 2, Psalms 31, verse 30, verse 3, Psalms 42, verse number 9. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul called Christ that rock, 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. Not only do we understand that Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, but as the children of God, we are stones that come from the rock that he was to build his church. Now, so we're chosen to be lively stone and not carnal mind. When we read that over in 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 3, 1, verses 1 through 3, but we are to be lively stone, showing forth the praises unto God. The next aspect that of being chosen as special people, ye are his special people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, according to the New King James Version. In the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7 and 6. However, because of the Jews' rejection of Jesus, God has grafted in the Gentiles to occupy a place among his people in the New Testament era or the church age. Paul proclaimed, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, 13. He further added, now therefore, ye are no more stranger and foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians 2, verses number 19. Now look, you're no more a stranger or a foreigner, but you are considered a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. And so you must recognize the transformation that God has done in your life. God is doing a great and a mighty work in your life. And you must claim the fact that you are now no longer a stranger. You're not a foreigner, but you are a citizen. And so sometimes we need to stand and declare, God, I am a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. That is so profound. So when you think in terms, and you may think in your mind, well, my mother is not there for me, my father's not there, I don't have any extended relative, but God's saying that about your relationship or about who you are a fellow citizen with the saints of God, and that you are of the household of God. And once you recognize that and say, God, I'm of your household, that is a profound place to be, child of God. So don't let the devil play with your mind thinking that you're nobody and you were just here by accident. No, you're not. You are of the household of God. A blessing comes to all people, all God's special people. You can see Psalm 33 and 12. The father in that, the parable of the prodigal son, told the elder brother, all that I have is thine, Luke 15 and 31. As the children of our Heavenly Father, we are entitled to everything that God has. We are indeed a special people. Now, let's take a look. And we're still talking about being chosen. We talked about as lively stone. We talked about the show forth the praises unto him who called us out of the marvelous, out of darkness into this marvelous light. And then we talked about how that we are special people, that God has adopted us, and we were far off, but now we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's key to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sin. That blood is applied to our life through the name because he shedded the blood. And that's why it's key. That's the revelation. He shed his blood. He paid the ultimate price. He purchased our salvation. He pardoned us of our sin through the blood that was shed of Jesus Christ. And so we are now considered fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are special people. And now let's look here at the next point, a royal priesthood. Over in 1 Peter 2 and 9 said, ye are a royal priesthood. In this verse, Peter referred to Exodus 19, 5 through 6. God had originally destined Israel to be a kingdom of Christ, but they rejected the call. Exodus 20, verses 18 through 19. As a result of Israel refusing the priesthood as a nation, they had to rely upon the priest from the family of Levi to intercede for them. They had to take their sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle in the temple for the priest to offer them to God on their behalf. This practice continued until God came in flesh and became the supreme sacrifice for all mankind. At that time, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that we could now go into the holies of holies. No longer do we need a priest to offer our sacrifice, but we can do that for ourselves. And we can see that over in Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 50 and verse 51, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. Now, let's look at another aspect and theme, is that a holy nation. 1 Peter 2 and 9 said, but ye are an holy nation because we are called and chosen people. God expects us to be holy as he is holy. See, Leviticus 11 and 44. In his first epistle, Peter wrote, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. God required his people to be holy, for it would be inconsistent and impossible to have a spiritual relationship with them otherwise. The word holy comes from a word that means separated, sanctified, and the same word is translated as saint, holy one. In other places in the New Testament, when Paul penned the word to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Romans 1 and 7, he was indicating that God called his people to be holy. The writer of the book of Hebrews further declared, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man can see the Lord, Hebrews 12 and 14. God has always drawn a line between the world and his people. When he was preparing Israel for the Passover before their exodus from Egypt, the fatal night, he said, but again, any of the children of Israel shall not be dogs moved his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel, Exodus 11 and 7. At the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, the Pharisee had taken too far the separation that God demanded, feeling that everyone else was backslidden. They organized to ensure that holiness, their perception of holiness, was pronounced, clarified, and enforced in everyone else. Jesus attacked them more than any other group, for they were hypocrites. We should be careful lest God's command for holiness and our desire to be holy lead us to a stream that mirrored the mistakes of the Pharisee. Still, the scriptures are clear. The church is to be a holy nation. Now, here, we are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. We are special people, and we are lively stone. And this is out of God's choice for our lives. And we are to show forth the praises unto God. Now, that in itself right there will give you understanding of your purpose and identity of who you are in Christ Jesus. And now we can go on to perfection and go on to that next level because we understand what God is requiring of us. And so going on to the next level is very key. Let's look at faithful. The Lord is the only one who can both call and choose his people. However, faithfulness represents what we can do. God cannot be faithful for us. We must choose that for ourselves. Many people are faithful in church attendance, faithful in prayer, witnessing, giving, and lifestyle. Now, here we're going to look here is that George Barna, the well-known market analyst on church growth and leadership, said that the number one problem the church faces today is a lack of commitment in its members and attendance. Many people do not feel any loyalty to their local church. Barna says that many people get up on Sunday morning and decide where they're going to church, depending on who has the best program. The greatest need of the church is not more talent. It is for the people to be faithful. Paul declared to the Corinthians, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. The church needs those who are committed and faithful regardless of the program. And so that's how subtle that the enemy will trip a person's mind up. They'll come into the church and they'll say, oh, well, they don't have any good programs for the people and things. And then they'll go right back out, not recognizing in their minds and spirit that God's not wanting you to go to church to look for the program. But he wants you to go to church to be faithful to that which he called you to. And in doing that and your contribution of your gift and your talent and that which God has given unto you will take the church and enable the church to be just that greater or just that stronger because you are contributing or giving of your time and talent back to the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Now, let's look at another point here about being faithful. He wants us to, even though we're strangers and pilgrims, he still wants us to be faithful. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2:11-12. The Bible declared of Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs which with him of the same promise, Hebrews 11:9. Paul referred to Abraham as the father of those who believe. Therefore, we as children of also are strangers and pilgrims. See Romans 4:11, Romans 4:16. As one song said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are presently residing in this world, but our home is in heaven. For this reason, we should be careful not become so deeply rooted in this world that leaving it would be difficult. Luke records a warning from the Lord that reminds us of the possibility of making this world too much our home. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness in the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Luke 21:34. The word surfeiting has to do with overindulgence. which will cause us to become too entrenched in the things of the world that we will want to remain here. And so you must be careful so that you won't become so entrenched in that when God said, come my people, you can hear when that trump is being made. And that's key, children of God. In studying the habits of the wildlife, researchers have discovered that some migrate geese never around to migrating. Feeding us in the farmer's barnyard, they find themselves too fat to fly south. Contented with their surrounding, they forget that their purpose is to fly because before the cold weather hits. This obviously subjects them to the rigor of winter in an area of which nature has not properly prepared them. We should never become so content with this world that we forget that we are destined to live in heaven. One day the rapture will take place, and we need to be able to make the trip. And I think that that's so key, child of God. We need to be ready to make the trip because the rapture will take place. Now, let's look here. Abstain from the world. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter used the word abstain, translated from the Greek, and defined as to hold oneself off or to refrain. The equivalent Latin word means to hold back. Therefore, the dictionary defined abstain as to hold oneself back. We should hold ourselves back from the fleshly lust of the world. While the world is inviting us to partake and enjoy, we are fighting to deny the flesh of what it craves. Peter wrote that fleshly lust war against the soul, which indicates that a war is raging in which we are to fight and remain separate from the world and sin. This is the reason that Paul encouraged Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of on eternal life, 1 Timothy 6:12. We cannot enjoy victory or even maintain our stance for truth without a fight. While God is commanding us to abstain, the people of the world urge us to partake, and they cannot understand why we do not want to get involved in their evil practice and lifestyle. Now, let's look at another point. Talking about us remaining faithful, being faithful. The destination is heaven, Hebrews 11:10. For he looks for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. As children of Abraham, we are looking for the same city for which he sought and sojourned. The book of Revelation described it as being a holy city having 12 foundations. See Revelation 21:10-14. The holy city was the one for which Abraham was looking, the place that every soul longed to reach. Although it is the ideal destination of all human flesh, unfortunately, not all people will go there. John wrote, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. When anyone makes the Lord his master, he immediately becomes disenchanted with this world and begins looking for that city. Certainly, the salvation experience of the new birth changes our destination, and this world is no longer our goal. God has adopted us into his family, and this is the only natural that we would desire to go with our father to his house. Those who are of sin are of their father, the devil, who abode in the lake of fire. But God is our father, and our destination is the new Jerusalem, the going on to heaven with our heavenly father. And that's very, very key. And things for you to grab a hold and have an understanding thereof. Now, we talked about various things about faithful and things as pilgrims and strangers sojourning through this world. Being faithful as to abstain from the world, not partaking of the things that you know that are not godly and things that will take you further and further away from God. That's what we mean by sustaining from those things that will take you further away from God and things, and that you know that God do not approve of evil. And then the destination is heaven. And those things are very key for us being chosen, that chosen generation, to have a greater understanding of what it does mean by being called out of darkness into the marvelous light, into the family of God, called as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Then we talked about being chosen, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lively stone, special people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so those are so key for us as people of God to know and to recognize that that's what God had did for us and through us and in our lives. Now, in this lesson, we have considered how God has called us out of darkness into his family as newborn babes. After calling us, he chose us to be special people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a lively stone and spiritual house. Also, we learned how that the calling and choosing were something that only God could do. But faithfulness is our required response to him. Without question, we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. We do not fit in. Therefore, we should abstain from the world because our ultimate destination is the heavenly city. And so we must recognize that we're looking for that place where the builder and maker is a God. And so as we look on towards that and still yet living and things and engaging in this world and doing the things that we know we need to do, but when it comes to things that you know that it is an offense to God and things, or God convict us and things for doing something that was an offense to him, all God is saying that, I don't want you to do that. That is an offense to me. Don't do that. I don't want that. That's not the best choice for your life. And once we begin to recognize that and understand what God is doing in and through our life, when he brings things to our heart and mind, it gives us a greater understanding as to recognizing, oh, yes, I am of the household of God now. I can't do that. And then I am a citizen with the saints. And so now I don't do those things anymore. And once we begin to recognize that, then it brings us into a greater awareness of who we are as a people of God and what God wants to do in and through our lives. And so I pray that this lesson on today was a blessing to you, to kind of open up your understanding, to give you a greater understanding about the chosen generation of being called, being chosen, and our response to God is to be faithful. Be faithful with your praise. You know, everything is not going to go our way in life. Everything is not going to, we're not going to always be on the mountaintop. There's going to be time in the valley. There's going to be some time traveling up the mountain. There's going to be some time when we coming out of the valley or just getting ready to go into the valley. But wherever you at, whatever the season of life, of where you at right now and the lot of life has dealt you, you must be faithful to God with praise in your lip, praise in your heart, and giving him the praise, glory, and honor that is due unto his blessed name, because he's worthy of all the praise and worthy of all the glory that's due unto his name. And once we give God forth, God, the praise and glory that's due unto his name, I come to tell you, child of God, you will be greatly blessed. And you will see the fruit of your labor being manifested because of your faithfulness. God will raise people up to bless you. God will open doors. God will make a way. God will just put you to the head and make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. God will do all those things for you because of your faithfulness. That will be in your response to God. Be faithful to his house. Don't go looking for the program. You be the program. Be a part of the program by being faithful to where God has called you to be. And don't get caught into this whole new thing of going from church to church to church. Stay where you have been planted and let God grow and build you at that place, and you will be greatly blessed. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time that we have spent with your people on today and how you open up their understanding about being called and being chosen and being faithful unto you, dear God. I ask you, God, that you help them to settle into the place before or they go back and ask you, God, is this where you want them to be at, and ask that they earnestly seek you for where you call them to be, dear God, so that they can grow thereby with the sincere milk of the word and the meat of the word, and a pastor that loved them and loved all that you have called them to do and to be, that you would nurture them, dear God, and that they will be faithful to that place and grow and wax strong in that place where God has called them to. And Father, we praise your name. Strengthen the body, undergird the body, fortify. And oh God, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor, because we recognize that you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we give you praise and we give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your holy and your sacred name. Father, Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I pray that you have been blessed today. And remember, Pastor Arm will always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. The Bible says, seek, and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Recognize, if you don't have it, God has got it. All you need to do is ask again. Keep on seeking and keep knocking at the door. If that school, that door closed on you for that school, then perhaps that's not the one. But there is one there for you. If that car, that door didn't open for that car, it may not be the car dealer, but that doesn't mean that God's not going to do it. Maybe you need to go to another car dealer and seek it out. God wants to bless you. He will. He can. He shall do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. God bless you. May you be blessed. Bye-bye.